Hello, and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from, and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
So we started last week on the series called Becoming. We've been doing some other series leading up to this, alignment, putting down roots that kind of had kind of a natural feel of coming to this, but this question of becoming is really in some ways an even deeper question, I think, than we've asked before. Some of it, I even feel when Sarah Morrison, our communications person, put this graphic as the Becoming series graphic, when I look at that, I realize that oftentimes what we talk about in becoming is how I work harder to become more like Christ. But when I look at that graphic series, I ask you, does that caterpillar on the left have any choice at all about what kind of butterfly it's going to be? It doesn't, does it? I mean, if you plant an apple seed in the ground, it's not going to become a peach tree. It's only going to be an apple tree. And a human embryo, a child growing inside of you, is not sitting there wondering, am I going to be a zebra when I grow up? It's going to be human. There's some DNA in this. There's some hard wiring that's going on in this question about becoming. Because if I believe that all of this is created and designed by God, which I do, and I believe that that God is a loving God who wants and longs for every human being to spend eternity with Him, which I do, then I come to realize that the question of becoming, that the core question at the being, the very fiber of our lives, is whether to follow God to become what we've designed to be or not. That's it. The questions of what's the meaning of life? What's my purpose? Why am I here on earth? What am I made for? What am I supposed to become? All get wrapped into, am I going to follow God into His plan for my life or not? And when I do, will I realize that I will find meaning there? To become who we are or not is at the base of it all. One of the places that we get a glimpse of that is John 15:5. It's our I am statement from Christ for this week of our Becoming series. It's also the one that I said at the beginning. If you've never understood why the service was called the vine, you're about to hear it. John 15:5. I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. This is Jesus talking. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and in my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. It sounds like from that passage that if I remain in Jesus, God's plan for humanity, that my life will be fruitful and meaningful and rich. And if I don't remain in Jesus, then no matter what I accomplish in life, it will not have eternal value. It will not be meaningful. It will not be lasting. I have to tell you, I've done hundreds of funerals and memorial services over the last 2+ decades. And when they go to talk about somebody's life, I have very rarely heard somebody mention, well, he worked this many years for this company, and he closed that major deal back in 1984 that just pushed him to the echelons of blah, 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 blah. Nobody talks about what we think we need to put so much of ourselves into. What do they talk about? They talk about people's faith and love and family. They talk about the fruit that they bore that's eternal for the glory of God. Now, me, when I start engaging with these verses, one of the challenges I have is I jump right over to that fruit-bearing part. I'm a doer. I like doing things for the glory of God. And so works of grace and mercy and being the hands and feet of Christ and ministry of the world, that just gets me excited, as you know if you know me. So, yeah, I'm going to be on the Hightower Kairos team that's coming up. And I'm excited for people coming into town to help rebuild and restore and work with Habitat. And I love the work that we do with Fresh Start, helping out these boys, and the work we're doing out at Freedom Place to help girls who've been trafficked. And all of those things. And you'll never hear me or stand in a place like this to say that those things are wrong or bad or that we shouldn't do them. But sometimes I get so focused on the fruit bearing that I miss the deeper truth of this passage. And the deeper truth is, to become, we must remain. To become, we must remain. To become the persons that we were created to be for all eternity, we must remain in Christ. If we remain in Christ, the fruit will happen. If we remain in Christ, the good works will be done for the Lord. But the reciprocal is not always true. It's not always true that if I go out and get busy, that draws me any closer to Christ. There's all kinds of people out there doing good deeds that aren't any closer to the Lord. But what does it really mean to remain in Christ? I think the first part of remaining in Christ is being connected in Christ, united in Christ, having Christ in your heart. And this is more than just, did I say the sinner's prayer at camp when I was 12 years old one time way back when? This is a connection that happens over and over and over in our lives. And those verses that I shared out of Ephesians 2 that we love, at least we love the truncated version of verse 8, for it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and then we start defining what our faith is. That really truncates the verse, because if you listen a little further, it says, it's by grace that we've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God. God is even willing us to have faith in Him, to trust in Him, to give our lives to Him. And we are God's handiworks, created in Christ Jesus to do those good works, to bear fruit, which God prepared for us to do. But that bearing of fruit comes out of the fact that we are remaining in Christ. I remember in fifth grade coming to my preacher and saying, I'm ready to join the church. And he scoffed. He looked down his nose at me and said, you're not ready. You're too young. And after a year of studying, I went back and I was interviewed by him. And he said, wow, you really are ready. And all along at different points in my life, I remember when I started in a full-time ministry and God said, Chris, if you'll just do and go and follow and remain in me, I'll help you know what to say. I'll help you know where to be. Are you connected? Are you united with Christ right now in your life? That's where it really starts. And Jesus says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. If you remain in me, I'll remain in you.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
There's also a part of remaining that isn't quite that relationship. And the truth is, if we're the branches and Jesus is the vine, that we are dependent. We rely upon the vine. The branch cannot survive without the vine. It relies on the vine for, in a plant's world, for water, for nutrition, for sap, for however that's conveyed. And truly, the vine without the branch, or the branch without the vine, is useless. It's lifeless. Those are the ones that become brittle. You just crack them off and throw them away. And for plants, we know what that means. But for us, it's the love and the joy and the peace that we need for each and every day. It's the patience and the kindness. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the calm. It's the perseverance. It's the hope. It's the assurance. It's the purpose. It's the courage to become fully, to become fully. I was talking to somebody recently who had the joy of giving a sermon, and they were saying, is this how it always feels when you're done? Because he had a huge smile on his face, and I said, what are you talking about? How do you feel right now? He said, well, I feel empty and I feel full all at the same time. It's like I've been poured out, because what God poured into me, I poured out, but as it was being poured out, he was filling me up with the Spirit. Well, guess what? That's vine and branches. That's the branch filling the vine, so the vine, or the vine filling the branch, so the branch can bear fruit. Connecting, relying, but it's also about remaining, staying there, staying connected, not just connecting to Jesus and then taking a 3-week holiday from him, and then coming back and connecting to Jesus and going off and doing your own thing for 4 years and coming back. No, it's about staying put. It's about staying connected with Jesus. And I'm talking about more than just you and Jesus in your favorite chair with your devotional for 12 and a half minutes in the morning. I'm talking about all day long, as we're praying, as we're living, as we're loving, as we're looking around in the world, as we're trying to find ways that God wants us to live and work, to be attentive, and to move through our days with Christ. I don't know about you, but I have found that if I'm asking that question, God, where do you want me to be? He always shows me. God, who would you like me to help? There it is right there. That attentiveness of life is remaining in Christ everywhere. And the truth is, that kind of remaining gives us joy and assurance and peace that we don't have of our own. We're the branches. He's the giver of those. So when we started receiving news this past week that our friends that were in the Holy Land on tour were running into some problems because of the coronavirus, they were in Bethlehem, and there was a moment they were shutting down all the holy sites in Bethlehem, and they were saying in Israel that borders are closed, coming in and going out, and they needed to get into Israel. And so they had this moment where they Clint Wiley, who's over there, said in a Facebook post, it looked like that our 10-day adventure of a lifetime was about to be cut short at 3 days, and we were headed home. But they trusted, they prayed, they listened, they watched for opportunity, and when they found a doorway that they could potentially go through, a checkpoint, they said there are 4 checkpoints they had to go through. And the first 3 checkpoints, nobody was even there. And the 4th, after a few words were exchanged, they were waved on over into Israel. They said the other checkpoint, there were 30 buses backed up, and none of them ever made it through. Now, I'm not saying anything that those people on those other 30 buses didn't have the right kind of faith. But I know on that tour bus that got into Israel that they were praying and they were trusting and they were relying on the Lord. They were remaining in Christ in that moment. This leads us to actually a deeper kind of remaining. And that's the remaining that linguistically is tied with the word remnant in the Bible. That's when everybody else has gone the other way. That's when everybody else has walked away. That's when everybody else has chosen a different path and we're still remaining. It's the remaining on the other side when temptations have been pushed aside. It's the remaining when all the false idols have been burned down and torn apart. It's the remaining and the perseverance after we walk through the hard places of life and the toughest of challenges, and we come out more dependent upon God on the other side than when we were before, even if we come out a little bruised and beaten up. There's a connection with another passage in the Bible. I'm going to just point you to it, and I hope you go look it up. It's 2 Kings chapter 19. It's a time when the Assyrian armies have overrun all the northern kingdoms, And Hezekiah, the king of Judah, is they're hunkered down in Jerusalem and they're hanging on for dear life. And Hezekiah is crying out and he gets this word from the Lord through the prophet Isaiah that says, "This year you will eat what grows by itself, and the second year what springs from that. But in the third year, sow and reap, plant vineyards and eat their fruit. Once more, a remnant of the kingdom of Judah will take root below and bear fruit above. For out of Jerusalem will come a remnant, and out of Mount Zion, a band of survivors." Jerusalem wasn't destroyed, but for 2 years, they hung on for survival by God's hand. And then in the third year, they joined God to begin to bear fruit. "I'm the vine. You're the branches. Remain in me, and you'll be the new remnant for the glory of God." So what's the challenge that you faced? The temptation you've avoided? The trial that you've endured? What storm have you passed through? And did they all help you learn more about Christ? We've been going through some of those in our family, and I'm so thankful that in the middle of things that we keep saying, "God, what are you going to do with this moment?" Because you say that you're going to work through all moments. Well, what are you going to do with this one? That leads me to the last thing that I want to lift up about this "I am the vine" passage in John 15. It actually comes in before verse 5. It's actually up towards the top. It's chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, and it talks about the nature of God in this. "I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful." You see, the Father is interactive in what we're doing. The Father isn't just stepping off to the side and hoping things work out. The Father is keeping the vine healthy so that the branches will express the fruit of his glory. That's why when we bear fruit, we are not glorified. God is glorified. He's the one that ultimately is responsible if we will remain in him. He supplies all we need to bear the fruit if we'll focus on remaining in him. And God is constantly strengthening us. He's constantly helping us to chisel away and cut off the pieces of us that don't glorify him and that are dead or that are pursuing the wrong things. And the parts that are bearing fruit, he even cuts those back. It's a painful process if a plant could experience pain, because it doesn't just nick off the end, it cuts you back to a strong place so that the fruit comes out healthier and stronger than ever before. God loves us so much. God loves his church so much that he wants us to be strong, remaining in him. Recently at Fresh Start, things have been going so well, and then all of a sudden, some of the kids were classified down, moved out, new kids came in, everything went into chaos, and right in the middle of all the chaos, all this stuff you may have seen going down in with a federal judge in the state of Texas, and they needed to clean up the DFPS system immediately. So they started, I'm convinced, they started at the top alphabetically, and if they would have just been Fresh Start instead of A Fresh Start, it wouldn't have gotten to them so fast. But they're A Fresh Start, and very quickly some things just unraveled, and it showed up quickly. And those of us who were involved, the leaders down there were like, "Oh no, they're going to abandon us. They're going to see our warts. They're going to see how bad off we really are, and they're never coming back to do ministry." And we're like, "No. We're coming back." But sometimes, isn't that the case? You're right in the middle of stuff and everything's going great, and then it starts to unravel. I also meet pretty frequently, once a week or every other week, with this guy who got arrested for attempting to buy sex. The first time I met him, he said, "I'm so thankful to God that I got arrested, because it's the first step to my healing. God pruned him. Cut him back so that he could come out of it stronger." That's God's plan for us. He's the vine. Christ is the vine. We're the branches. If we'll remain in Him, really remain in Him, no matter what, remain in Him, we will bear fruit, good fruit.